Praise God. On the subject of sending, we want to this morning be praying for a young man who's going to be going to Africa with Overland Missions. Want to remind everybody we are the Northeast representatives of Overland Missions. It is, as was declared last night, probably the most state-of-the-art and effective missions in the world. It definitely has one of the best systems. And also, it's a very high-tech, yet not afraid to get dirty ministry that we're part of. We're glad to represent them. We're proud of being part of that ministry. That's why we're going to India with that. That's why part of the fundraiser, of course, is about India. Just like to reiterate what Josh already said, is the fact that we got an email and a phone call from the Indian people where we're going to go in Ongol and Andhra Pradesh. New friends, new connections. Does anybody here hear about the cyclone that hit India? Not too many of us. Well, hundreds of people have been killed in Sri Lanka. Thousands, hundreds of thousands are homeless. And it even went as far north as Andhra Pradesh, which is the state where we're starting. See, the thing is we don't know. We don't know these things. And it's very important for us to know these things. It's very important to consider whether it is or it isn't anything to do with us. Well, it isn't anything to do with us if you drive your car with the windows up and the air conditioning on and the music playing. Then it's nothing to do with you. But if you realize that God wants to smash your windshield, that's what he wants to do. He wants to smash your windshield and let you understand that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, that's what he did. He smashed every protection other than himself. And so now we're propping it up. We're propping up the systems of this world. The Bible says the kingdoms of this world have now become. Somebody say now become. The kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. So therefore every kingdom in this world is actually bankrupt. Every kingdom in this world has been propped up. What do you think we did last year with the bailouts? We propped up a bankrupt system. And so it's what we're doing. It's what's going on all around the world. What's going on around the world is, look what's happening to Greece. Look what's happening to Spain and Portugal. European nations. At one time, three great empires of the world. There was nobody like the Greeks, hallelujah. Was there an empire like the Spanish? And people don't realize how great Portugal was in its traveling the world. But now they're all bankrupt. European nations. We're not talking about darkest Africa. I want you to understand that the future is not about the Western world. The future is not in the hands of the Americas. Can somebody say, ouch? The future is in the hands of Asia. I promise you, you need to understand that the 19th century was definitely a century of Europe, especially the British and many others. The 20th century was a century of the Americans. But the 21st century is a century of Asia. Asia is what's happening. 1.2 billion people in India, and every one of them has a cell phone. You can be out in the middle of nowhere, and you are in you can be hiking in somewhere, and there's no civilization, no running water, no transport, no toilets, but there's cell phones. Do you know there's more people in India with a 4.0 average in math than there are people in America? There are more people in India with a 4.0 than the population of America. There are 300 million Indians with a 4.0 math average. You go to the store now and buy two articles for $1.50 each. They can't add it up. Come on, somebody help me this morning. They can't add it up. They can't take 10% off of $10 because their thumbs are tired. I'm telling you, folks, people, this is why I'm saying we cannot come to church and spectate. You've got to wind your windows down before God smashes the windshield. So I really want to encourage you to think about these things. They're very important. I want you to continue this morning on the subject of renewing the mind. We're not going to have too much time. So I'm going to have to do the quick version. I cannot reiterate too much about what I shared last week, but the CD will be made available for you, or you can, of course, listen to it online. But let's go to Romans chapter 12. Last week I said a couple of things. One of the first things I said is this: the message to the lost is you must be born again. And the reason why you must be born again is because Adam disobeyed God. He died, and because he died, every seed he produced after him was dead. Death in the Bible means separation from God. So that means everybody, when the scripture says you're born in sin, it means you were born separated, that you are actually separated from God until you are born again. And there's a lot of people, unfortunately, in church who are not born again. They're just going through the tradition of going to church. But their heart has not yet been reunited with God. The scripture says in the book of Corinthians, those who are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him. So there's two messages on the earth today that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed us to speak. And that is, to the lost, that is, you must be born again. The Lord was showing us last night. By the way, who enjoyed last night's meeting? I would say last night, for me, may have been the greatest meeting we've ever had in this church. The reason was, who shared a word last night? Stand up quick. Is that all? The others couldn't get up, eh? Praise God. Okay, you may be seated. There must have been, 40 people shared a word last night? 30 or 40 people shared a word? It was powerful. And we were praising God till 11:30 at night. Hallelujah. It never stopped. Super Mom over there on the keyboards. And then we had Super Dawn or Super Kim over here. Man, if you don't know what shouting is, one thing I know, man, Wonder Bread has no idea what shouting is. They think shouting is something you do with your mouth. Well, I discovered shouting's got nothing to do with your mouth. Kim was powerful. We had such an awesome time last night. I don't know. I've never had such a wonderful time because everybody was sharing. Everybody was testifying. Everybody was bringing a word. It was just an amazing. And Tim preached last night. What an awesome word Tim brought to us all last night. It was just wonderful. You know, and this is what Christianity is. And this is what church we are. And I'll be honest with you. Yeah, do I expect you to come to church twice a week? Absolutely. You know, God doesn't want much. He wants all of you. That's all. And so I don't even encourage you. You know, the reality of our relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I got to kiss my wife more than once a week, mate. And that's after but known her 36 years. And if you don't feel like that, man, then you do not know what I'm talking about. It's gone quiet. The message to the lost is you must be born again. What God showed us last night is this bubble that wealthy people live in. We've been talking about the down and outers. Most of our people, they love all the youngsters and not so youngsters, love to go to Broadway, whether it was in Kingston or in Newburgh, and they like to reach the, you know, the addicts and the kids and the punks and all that. But I want to tell you something. The up and outers are just as lost. Good people do not go to heaven. Good people do not go to heaven. Just the fact that they are well educated and they've got a good job, it doesn't make them any different. They're just as lost. The message to the lost is you must be born again. But the message to the church is Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Somebody say the renewing of your mind. You must renew your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're never going to do it without the renewing of the mind. I want to throw in another verse. You can go to it later in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. This is one of the most thought-provoking prophecies that came out of the minor prophets. But it says this: my people are destroyed. Somebody say destroyed. I don't know about you, I've been slapped up the side of my head a few times, been knocked about one way or the other, but I've never been destroyed, and I don't want to be destroyed. But it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they've rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I also will forget your children. Now, is anybody here want to take a thought on that right now? Because you have neglected, you have not desired the word of God, I will forget your children. Now, do we ever wonder why there's problems with kids? It's because we do not want our mind renewed about children. And it's one of the most essential things that we have to do. Okay, remember last week I talked about having a good heart is not enough. Oh, he's a good-hearted guy. I'm going to get him to fix my car. The fact that his name is Vaughn and the only thing he knows is where to put the gas and the oil and the water and nothing else is absolutely of no value. God is not just looking for good-hearted people. David was a good-hearted man. And he had to hide in a cave for 17 years. Why? Because God wasn't working on his heart, as per se. He was working on his thought patterns and his attitude coming in line with his heart. Amen. Until you actually understand that inside of you is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That we got all excited this morning about the power of God that is inside of us. But until you agree with the power of God, until your mind is renewed, until you are washed with the water of the word, you don't live that way. We had an awesome testimony here last night from one of the ladies who does not live in the opinion of God. She admitted that for years, even through 18 months of revival, she still didn't live in the opinion of God. She lived in the opinion of her experience. The fact that her own father never told her that he loved her. The fact that everybody she'd ever worked with, her family, never confirmed her and affirmed her in her life. And so in the end, she eventually got a breakthrough in understanding God's opinion of her. And do you know how he did it? He used a man of God to get her in the Newburgh Church to stand in front of a mirror in a public meeting and then say, "What do you see? What do you see?" This is why the Bible says you must look into the mirror of the word. Because this is why the word of God is called a mirror. What do you see when you look in a mirror? Do you see yourself? I want to say something this morning. Do you know that preaching and praying and going to prisons and helping pregnant young women is not a personality thing? Don't think that praising God loud is a personality thing. It is a renewing of the mind. I know a lot of loud people that don't praise God. I know a lot of quiet people that do praise God because their mind has been renewed. Now, if you're the kind of person that is used to... I'm going to tell you a quick story here while I think of it. I don't want to forget this story because the Holy Spirit nudged me with this. I've told it before a long time ago. Years ago, the IDF, I don't know if you know what that means, that's the Israeli Defense Force. Somebody say the IDF. Now, I'm always talking about Israel because, as you know and I know, the whole population of Israel has been in the military. All the leaders have been in the military. Most of their leaders at one time and the other have been colonels or generals or something. So, therefore, we have an understanding together. There's a corporate understanding of what their nation not only represents but what their nation faces. That's one thing we don't have in America. We don't have a corporate understanding of the absolute tragedy and the terrible place our country's in. We, you know, our nation is going to the dogs and we keep winding our window up. I remember a friend of mine once, I was on my way to Florida and I stopped in Virginia on the way down and sort of about D.C., the car mate was started making this noise. And so I stopped and I said, "Hey, David," I said, "there's this funny noise in my car." And he said, "Oh, that's easy." He said, "Just turn the radio up." Now, come on, folks. That's how most Christians deal with their problems. They turn the radio up. I mean, if you think Christian music is renewing your mind. Did I just say that? Do you know how many Christians, songwriters, have got lousy theology that what they sing about is no different than Nashville, Tennessee, man? It's no different. And so anyway, I want you to understand this. Turning the radio up isn't the... How many times Have you ever gone to Planet Fitness and tried to start a conversation? No, they're busy turning the radio up. They're trying to get the radio everywhere in your life. Now your radio is just strapped on your arm. So it's, you know, real close. So the wires are shorter now. And, you know, maybe less static. Maybe the sound's better. I don't know. But as long as they keep the volume up. We know the story about this. True story. This is, I'm not making this one up. You know, who knows about the Holocaust? You know, the Holocaust, do you know that in the Muslim world is a myth? Do you know the whole Muslim world says the Holocaust never actually happened? They say it never happened. And so anyway, that's a pretty sure. You know, I lived in Israel for 3 years, so I know exactly what that represents. So, but there was a time when the cars, you know, the carts were, you know, especially coming out of Poland. Poland lost more people, I want to say this, Poland lost more people in the Second World War per capita than any country in the world. 3 million Jews alone were slaughtered out of Poland, not a big country. And they used to transport them by trucks, you know, train trucks, you know, through the country. And of course, they're screaming and crying and yelling. Every village they're going through, they're calling out, help us, help us, help us. And they used to go through on, if they were going through on a Sunday, this is a true story, that one of the churches in Germany, when they heard it, they just instructed the choir to sing louder. Turn the radio up and wind your windows up so we don't have to get involved. God wants to smash our windshields. He wants to break our windshield so we feel the wind of the Spirit. Elaine was telling me last night, we had a breakthrough here last night, man. I went over to Chris at some time in the meeting. I said, Chris, can you feel? I said, it's getting hot in here. And do you know one of the reasons it made it hot? I realized actually this morning is that I went up, Carrie was singing, and I went and gave her a cord mic. I picked up the cordless mic and got off the platform. And I could feel the whole congregation going, oh, God, don't let him give me a mic. Lord, don't get him, give him a mic. Give the mic to somebody else, but don't let Vaughn give me the mic. You could just feel it. Oh, God, they're all pressing into God in another way now. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Yeah, you ain't going to stop me that way, mate. There was a couple of girls up the front there, and I went up behind them, and I just leaned in their back and gave them a little nudge just like that. 2 minutes later, they're on the platform with a mic testifying to the goodness of God. Afterwards, they were so excited in the kitchen. Man, they wouldn't shut up. It was awesome. It was awesome. This place was buzzing last night. 11:30 at night. I said, that's it. Let's go out with joy. Stop it. Go away. It was powerful. Because we had a breakthrough. Now, let me say this. The IDF, Israeli Defense Force. I was watching this video. And he was talking about, now think about this, I don't know if you know much about history. I'm talking about, you know, I know as an Englishman we have a lot of history, as American you have some. But I'm talking about Israeli history, decided in 1948. Now, it didn't take long to learn that kind of history, because that ain't a long time, especially if you were born in 1949. And so all these wars that the Israelis had, do we know about it? They had the War of Independence in 48, then they had another war, the Sinai War in 56, then they had, of course, the Six-Day War in 67, then they had the Yom Kippur War in 1973, then they had the first Lebanese War in 1982, they had another one in 06, I think it was. Now, imagine this, all these wars going on in my lifetime. And so they understand that they've got to do something about this battle because their country is less than 50 miles across. And if they don't stand on the wall and watch, they're history. And it's not as if we think, well, do people really want to do that to Israel? Have you ever read that book? Ever since day one, this world has been trying to destroy Israel. This world has been trying to destroy its Messiah, Jesus Christ. This world would do anything. And somehow we're missing the point. That's why I'm a window up and turn the radio up. Turn the air conditioner on. Keep cool. God don't want you to be cool. Last night after the meeting, one of the wives or one of the leaders wanted a hug, and I didn't want a hug. because it was 11:30, and I've been praising God for several hours. I was like unhuggable. But then she figured out she was too, and then I thought, I don't know about that. You know, are you comfortable being in church being so unhuggable? Are you comfortable in that situation? Or do you want to keep yourself in that place? You know, I'm English, for God's sake. We invented stiff. We invented it. Me and Andy Elms, we invented stiff. I always maintain, if you can get an Englishman free, America's got a lot of hope. And so the deal was this. During the wars, I don't know if you know, 1967, there was a preemptive strike on the Six-Day War. As soon as the armies were beginning to gather on their borders, boom, they went out and attacked Egypt and destroyed their air force while they were on the ground. Duh. It's called preemptive strike. Do you know how many Christians have no concept of preemptive strike? They wait until they're hit. Then they hit the panic button, and then they try and find a defense system. Please. Do you know how many people fast when they got a problem? You're already miserable, now you're not going to eat. What are you, stupid? Don't do that. You should fast when you don't have a problem. When everything's going great, say, how are you doing? How's your finances? Great. How's your marriage? Great. Oh, man, everything's great. Good. Go on a fast. Oh. Yeah. And so I want to say this. There are too many Christians only seek God when they need something. So his point was this. He said the reason why we are so much more effective than our enemy is there's one reason. He said it's not because we have better weapons than them. It's not because we're better trained with them. He said the difference is we're in a free country. So when the battle starts, they can't think we can. That was his number one premise for why he can defeat the enemy. Because they aren't from a free country. Does everybody know in countries like Saudi Arabia, women are not allowed to drive cars? Does everybody know that? Like, I'm talking about now. This is not another history lesson than what happened last century or during the Dark Ages. So I want you to see this. Now, I want to say this because it's something I said last week. You know, renewing the mind is not the same as learning. You can learn how to shoot a rifle. You can learn how to fly a plane. But when the battle starts, is that all you've learned? You're just a circus elephant standing on a ball, as we talked about last week. So therefore, what happens? The reason why so many Christians struggle is they never go on offense. They're always, who knows the best form of defense is? Who knows that? Wasn't it Patton that says, we can go any direction as long as it's forward? Paul the Apostle, God said, don't go to Asia. So he didn't sit down and suck his thumb and wonder what to do next. He just kept moving in another direction. And as Christians, we're not moving. As Christians, I saw a guy at Planet Fitness. He works in Lowe's, good man, lovely Christian brother. Goes to a church up in the Catskill area, way back in the Catskill area. I'm not even sure where it is, but anyway, and I know them well. And I said, so how's your church doing? I hear good reports. He said, oh yeah, we haven't plateaued yet. I said, plateaued? I said, there's no such thing as plateau in life. You're either living or dying. There's nothing in between. You're either growing or dying. I said, do you realize we start dying at 29 years old? And of course, he's in his mid-30s, so he wasn't very happy. Do you realize you're dying? And there's a reality here. Don't plateau. If you've plateaued, if you've come to a place where everything's okay, you're backslidden. You're dying. This is the thing. And because we're so busy, you know, putting our fingers in the holes in the dikes, trying to sew up the bag of holes, trying to, you know, it doesn't work. The best thing is to say, wineskin, no good, throw it out, new wineskin. Okay, let's start with this. Now, the trouble is we can't do this because it means that we have to die. So there's a difference between renewing the mind and being trained and learning. And the first thing we must do is we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Somebody say spirit of their mind. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I want to say this now, most of the time, you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind corporately. We okay? Last night, I mean, it was a good crowd. There was like 85 of us here last night, which is which was a good crowd for Saturday night. Really, I want to encourage you to come. And at the end of the night, the praise was so crazy. Of course, Elaine was leading it, and she was just going nuts. And it was just like nuts. Anybody ever seen an opera go nuts? I was thinking about this morning. I've never seen a ballet go nuts. I'll even go this far, is Tim, who's up in the sound booth today. I went up there last night during the praise and worship, and he's up there. I said, what are you doing up here? I said, aren't you preaching tonight? He said, yeah. I said, well, if you're only going to preach what you prepared, you're going to be boring. Get down there and get a hold of God. Did you hear what I said? Now, I want you to think about this. I believe in the spirit of excellence, but I don't believe in being perfect. There's a huge difference. Huge difference. And this is my point. Opera, for instance. Not that I know much about opera. It's not my forte, believe it or not. And so they perfectly start, you know, nothing airy with it. You don't hear as they go to start singing. My girls trained me in that, at least. And then this perfect, you know what it is? People close their eyes and find a bubble. This is the bubble I'm looking for. Wind the windows up. Turn the air conditioning to the perfect temperature. Put the cruise control on and leave me in my own little world. That's not right. I got a word of the Lord this week for the house. It's time to get your hands dirty. If your life is all orderly, it shouldn't be. Because oxen make a mess. Oxen make a mess. The Bible is very clear. It says that, you know, talks about oxen and clean stalls. I can't remember in what order. Praise God. There goes my opera example. You can't be growing in God if everything's just right. I'll give you an example. Solomon. He had more money than, he was the richest man in the world, the smartest man in the world. And the next generation backslid, the country split, and was never put back together. Can you hear what I'm saying? Is our definition of doing things right is according to what, I mean, have you had the experience we're talking about? Have you had the experience of actually dancing wildly before the Lord? There's a couple of nods. We saw some of it last night. You said, but that's not for me. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's all part of it. Now, I've got to move forward on this. Now, and this is essential. This is the part the Lord showed me again this morning. I've preached this so many times, I forgot about it. Did you hear that? Most of us can only get our breakthrough corporately. Let me read the verse. I need somebody to read it. It's in, because I haven't got enough hands this morning. Maybe I can do it. Here we go. Ambidextrous. I'm sorry if this is not going in the direction that... No, I'm not. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 14 says... I've got to try and touch on the subject of God's intention before we go home, but it's going to be tough. 1 Corinthians 14 says this. Verse 2. And David perceived, somebody say perceived, that the Lord had established him as king over Israel. Okay, I want to ask you this question. Are you established as a king? because you're called to be a king. You are called, according to the book of Revelation, to be a priest and a king. The Bible very clearly has called us to reign in life with Jesus Christ. And when you see the word reign, R-E-I-G-N, when you see that word reign, it only applies to monarchy. It cannot apply to democracy. It cannot apply to a president. It cannot apply to a prime minister. It cannot apply to a member of Congress. It can only apply to royalty. Are we okay? If God has called you to reign, that means he's called you to royalty. And the only way you can be royalty is to be born that way. Hallelujah. You see, until you understand, this is a message to the lost and to the church. Until you understand, you can't be any more royal than the day you were born again. Hallelujah. Because once a prince is born, he is the next one. I had the misfortune of watching a terrible movie this week called Robin Hood. God, when are they ever going to get an Englishman to be Robin Hood? But not the point. And they said, King Richard was killed in battle, and he brought the crown back. And they said, "This is Britain, right? Right? This is the English." And you may sound it's weird, but wait for it. It says, "The king is dead. Long live the king." Because we don't get caught unawares. We don't have to say, "Oh, now what shall we do?" Oh. You see, when the king's dead, there's a king. And when that king's dead, there's a king. And when that king's dead, there's sometimes a queen. Don't go there. And I want you to hear this. It's called an heir. It's not called democracy. It's not called a show of hands. It's not called, "What do you think?" Well, what do you think? It's called renewing the mind. It's called when you are born again, you are born a king, and you are born to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. This is why you're born again. It's the whole reason. So David, bless his cotton socks, 17 years after he was anointed king, perceived I got it. Like standing in front of a mirror and realizing you're a princess. Standing in front of a mirror and realizing you are the most beautiful woman on the earth. It's got nothing to do with your features, your size, your stature, your weight, your hair, or anything else. You are the most beautiful woman in the world because the Lord has beautified the meek with his salvation. It's you that are beautiful because God says you're beautiful, not because man says so. You are born to reign with God. You are born as a king. You are born as a priest. And that's God's intention. But we're too busy with our windows wound up and the air conditioning on and the music so loud we can't hear God talk to us. Amen. Let me get excited in a minute. This is so essential. How many of you right now, or maybe my preaching ain't good enough or long enough or strong enough this morning, but how many of you are going, "Yes, that's me. I'm a king. I'm a champion. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us." And if you're not thinking that, you need your mind renewed because you're wrong. And I'm right. Because I agree with God. If you're not thinking, and if you are thinking of that, are you going to think that this afternoon? And if you're not going to think it this afternoon, your mind is not renewed. You're just being trained. Amen, amen. Go on. Get on the ball. You see, it doesn't happen if you spectate. It doesn't even happen if you speculate. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. You are. You are. You just don't believe it. You know why? Somebody educated you from the other stupid tree. That's why. There's no other reason. Don't get technical on me. That's it. There's only two trees in the garden. Which one are you eating from? But I got to keep moving. Oh, no, here, let me read this. All right, now what is it? Right, David perceived he was king. Verse 8. Now when the Philistines, somebody say Philistines. Everybody understand what a Philistine is? The enemies of God. That David had been anointed king over Israel. They went up to search for David. And David heard and went out against them. Did you hear that? Oh, somebody's after you. Oh, where can I hide? No. Who's after me? Where can I find him? Do you go out and attack the enemy every morning? Do you go out and attack the enemy every morning? When you get up in the morning, you say, Father, I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror. I thank you, Lord, I can do all things through you who strengthens me. I thank you, Lord, I am the head and not the tail. I thank you. Is that what you're saying? Or are you going, oh, God. Come up and, you know why there's no prayer meetings in churches? Is because they eat from the wrong tree. Verse 11. So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called the name of the place Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim. Now, that word literally means the God of the breakthrough. Now, I want to tell you all of this, and this I've got to make this clear, if I ain't already. And that's this. Now, see, I know most of you well enough to know this. Many of you in this room have not had a breakthrough with God. You haven't. And you're holding on to what I don't know. Oh, we're all intimidated. The thing that intimidates me the most is the healing ministry. It absolutely intimidates me to the core. But am I going to stop praying for the sake? No. I'm going to keep praying for them until I get a breakthrough. I'm going to keep attacking them until I get a breakthrough. And what is intimidating you? What is it? I know public speaking is a lot of it. You know, it's got to go. It's not a personality thing. Now, I have a certain personality that's pretty useful for public speaking. But it isn't a personality thing. It is a reality when you get a breakthrough in your understanding. That's what I'm born to do. Now, I'm not necessarily saying. I made a list here last night of 35 people who I believe are preachers in this church that were here last night. Some of you were on it as well, and you weren't here. Oh, God, I got too much to share. Let me just say this. I'm going to take about another 5 or 10 minutes. To have a good attitude, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, is you must believe God's intentions are good. You must believe that. Do you know how many of us have actually got our own plans? You don't know? About 90-something percent of us. In the beginning, when God made us, it said, God bless them. Be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion. That's a good word. Do you realize that you're born to be dominators?
That's right.
Isn't that a good word? You want to be a dominator? You are one. You just don't believe it yet. You are one. It just hasn't broken out yet. You can take dominion. It was a bit loud, sorry. Can you also realize that what God made, he called very good? Wow. Every morning you can stand in front of the biggest mirror you can find. Even before you have a shower. Even before you brush your hair. Even before you put your makeup on. I was going to say, I'll put your teeth in, but don't go there. Can't quite say it the same without teeth. And you can stand in front of a mirror, stand in front of God, stand in front of the devil, and say, I am blessed. I am fruitful. I have dominion over things, and I'm very good. Oh, yeah. Of course, the alternative is if you want to be the son of Seth, not the son of Sam, the son of Seth. And we all know that Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and his name was Seth. So therefore, Seth and the children of Seth, the children of Adam, the lost, can stand before them and say, I am made in the image of disobedience, of rebellion. And even though the world says I'm good, I am not good, and I am going to hell. Of course, if they did say that, it would make evangelism easy. But they don't. It's the only two confessions in the world. Everybody hear what I just said? You've got to know God's intentions are good. Okay, I've got to wrap this up very quickly. First thing, without true repentance, you can't change. That's the end of that conversation. We'll do a bit more of that next week. Repentance means renew your mind. Renew your mind, renew your mind, renew your mind. You must choose to change. And it's never too late to change. But what I want to say is this, please. Words totally shape your thoughts. Your thoughts, listen folks, totally shape what you believe. What you believe is always what you speak. Come on, I've been in this game a long time, folks. And what you speak is what you're going to live. Let me say it again. The words you feed yourself. Why do you think the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind? Loins represent where seed is sown. Hello, does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Gird up the loins of your mind. So therefore, if you are not when you are going to battle, why do you think the Bible says, putting on the armor of God, gird up your loins with truth so you don't allow non-truth to be sown into your thoughts? The words you hear, the words you receive, make up your thoughts. Your thoughts make up what you believe. What you believe makes up what you say, what you confess, and what you confess is what you live. Now, I'm going to just try and wrap up on this one thing. Okay, let's just put a little bit of a how on it. We'll have to go over this next week when I've got a little more time. Okay, this is what happens when... Look at this. First time I use my computer, I'm quite impressed with myself. Okay. Somebody's definitely sabotaged the man. All right. I'll have to do it then by... The scripture says... Got it. The scripture says... Receive with all meekness. You should hear a message on that. Then Tim shared an awesome message last night. Receive with all meekness the engrafted word. Somebody say engrafted. It also says the implanted word. Rodney Howard Brown told a great story the other week. He said that as a kid he was planting peanuts. And for some reason, if I heard him correctly, he said they take a long time to germinate and begin to grow. So after a few days, he dug them up. Nothing's happened. So he replanted them. And he waited a little longer and he watered them and the rest of them. And then he dug them up again. Put them in. Last try, you know how long he waited. I don't remember the story. He takes 10 minutes to tell a 1 minute story. And so, and he said, and after a while, he said, he dug up the peanuts. Thought, this ain't working. Washed them and ate them. Which is what a lot of people do. They eat their seed. You see, because the engrafted word. Now, let me just get back a minute, right? You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As I say, some of you, I know some of you have been offended this morning. That's okay. Either get over it. Anyway. No, it's true. It's true. We got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind has got to break out. You got to break out of the training. I mean, did Josh talked about his house this morning, but he did tell you that he said my other house. He'll have to tell you a story. Oh, Jesus. Did you know his dream in life was to be a doctor? Does anybody know that? He had the grades to do it. He got his bachelor's. And he had entrance into medical school. He chose the kingdom of God. And trust me, this guy is in a better position than any 37-year-old doctor I've ever met. Because of the kingdom. Amen. Because of the renewing of the mind. You know how many people have an appearance and yet they're bankrupt. They're bankrupt, man. Or if the country goes bankrupt, they're bankrupt. Excuse me. When the country goes bankrupt, they're bankrupt. These are important days we're living in. All right. So you come to a meeting last night. Everybody's broken through. Everybody's a champion. Everybody's got the victory. You can break through by somebody else's anointing. Part of our ministry, when many of the months and months and months of Steve was here, he was laying hands on people and breaking them through in the spirit of their mind. But when they got up, they choose to eat off the other tree. It was their choice, not his. Are you with me here? You know how many people, they backslide, they drift, and they blame anybody. I don't care who you want to blame. Trust me. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You had the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You had the same Bible as everybody else. You had the same opportunity. We have no excuses before God. Oh, that's one and one amen, and I understand the feeling. I got to eliminate people's excuses because I'm tired of people's excuses. Backsliding is a choice. I've gone and said it. Backsliding is a choice because you chose to blame somebody else for your spiritual state. You chose to be disappointed by someone else. You chose that reality. I don't ever remember doing that in the 31 years I followed Jesus Christ. I remember being mad at people, but I remember not choosing to blame them for my spiritual state. So how do you get the engrafted word? Okay, number one, you won't have to. One, read the word. Really? We skip that. We have reading programs. I would love to have a show of hand to ask how many of you folks read 5 chapters a day. But anyway, I don't want to do that. But Numero uno, his word is a light unto my inner. Read the word. Two, meditate on the word. Meditate on it. That means to muse, to mutter, to mumble, to speak out loud. Father, I thank you that you made me more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Father, I thank you that I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. I thank you, Lord, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Well, two, speak the word in prayer and confession. And the last thing, which is where most of us fail, and I've got to wrap up on this, is share the word. How many of you are sharing the word? Come and help me. How many of you are, when you have fellowship with one another, home groups, coffee afterwards, eating spaghetti, what are you going to be talking about? Are you going to share a word with one another? Are you going to minister to the household of faith first? This is how it begins. Do you understand? Does that make sense to you? In other words, whenever I get something, I immediately verbalize it. You remember the other day in the office, you and Amber in the office, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, so I immediately went to the office where these two ladies were, and I shared what God spoke to me to help, not only that they heard what, but also when I hear it, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes. Do you realize you're that far away from faith? I mean, please, mate. Give yourself a call. Take that iPhone away. Put it under your feet. Smash it, hallelujah. And begin to call yourself occasionally. And let the word of God come out of your mouth and in your ears and out of your mouth and in your ears. Because faith comes by hearing. And if you think that's not in your personality, you need to renew your mind because you're wrong. Because you have the nature of Christ. So, hallelujah. Tom, coming up. Tom, this word is for you this morning, my brother. This word is for you. There's a charge in your life about your tomorrows. This man is a well-educated man. RPI. That's a good school, if you don't know that. This man is a skilled engineer. Bought your first house, how long ago now, Matt? 3 years? 3 years ago, he's 27, 28 years old. Bought his first house. He orders his footsteps aright. And yesterday he was doing a new office for us, doing a tile, putting a chair rail up. and all this stuff. And afterwards, I was there, and I said, Tom, I said, thanks for doing it. He said, oh, man, I love doing it. I love working with my hands. And when he came in the room, I said, Tom, I said, can you see yourself sitting at a computer for 30 years? He went, no. He's going to Africa next week. We need to believe God for breakthrough for this young man. We need to believe God. And you know what? I wish some of you were up here right now and I'm laying hands on you and sending you out.